Remain standing. I won't say much, and then we'll have a word of prayer and pray together. We're not going to get in a hurry about our praying tonight. Now, prayer is not just something to get out of the way so you can get on with the service. We're going to take your time. We'll not have revival till we pray, and we'll not meet with the Lord until we seek the Lord. And 2 Chronicles 15:1, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear you me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. That's a beautiful phrase. Something every Christian ought to remember. If you seek him, he will be found of you. God's not off hiding somewhere. Not wanting to show his face in the meeting tonight. But if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Isn't that wonderful? And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the country. And a nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. That's a blessed promise. Look down in verse number 10. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord at the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul,
Amen.
That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. Now, I don't know about you, it sounds like me, the heaven meeting. Verse 15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. I notice in the previous chapter that the reign of Asa began in verse 2 when Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. I find him doing right in verse number 2. I find him building fences in verse number 6. Building cities in verse number 7. At the end of verse number 8, verse number 7 it said, so they built and prospered. He built an economy. In verse number 13, the Bible says he made war and they had victory in war. But then in chapter 15, when they began to seek God and they began to pray, and they were promised if they'd seek the Lord, he'd be found of them. But it was not until verse 10, in the 15th year of his reign, that the Lord began to bless them and began to touch them in a spiritual manner. But they were faithful to seek the Lord, and the Lord was found of them. They were faithful to seek him with their whole desire, verse 15 says, and he was found of them. And that when he was found of them, he gave them rest round about. You want to find a land where there'll be rest. This is a land of turmoil. There's no rest in America today. People are not at rest. It's a land of turmoil. But if we'll seek the Lord, He'll be found of us. If we'll seek Him with our whole desire and our whole heart. Somebody said, I've been praying for weeks for this revival. I've been praying for months. Been praying for maybe some days to see a move of God. If you'll seek the Lord, He'll be found of you. He's not hiding off somewhere. He'll be found of you if you'll seek Him tonight. And I'm convinced that we can have a time in the house of the Lord to remember for days to come of what God's done in our midst if we'll seek Him tonight. So I want us to gather with our whole hearts tonight, and I want us to, my friend, to use our whole desire as we pray together in this place. We're not going to get in a hurry with our praying tonight. We're going to seek the face of the Lord. So I want you to help us to pray as we seek God's face, that the Lord would move in this meeting. I'm glad to have Brother Steve Arrowood with us tonight. I want him to lead us to the Lord in a word of prayer. We'll pray until the Lord gets done with us. You go ahead, Brother Steve.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to this tonight, God, and we just thank you tonight, God, for this time, this opportunity. God, that you blessed us to have tonight to be able to gather in this place tonight. I thank you tonight, God, for being so good to us, Heavenly Father. God, I bless your name tonight, God, for loving us. God, for we are so lovable. Lord God, for we once were, for thy touch, for thy love. I thank you tonight, God, that you've been so good to us. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray right now. God, I call on your name tonight. God, that you quiet your spirit on this place tonight. Heavenly Father, God, I ask you tonight to bless tonight and everything. God, that's good and said tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight. God, that you just reach down and touch the hearts and minds of each and every man, woman, boy, or girl sitting here in this place tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight. God, Lord, 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 God, that
God bless every person across the pews, Lord, from us, and every person, Lord, that's battled or fought their heart to be a part of me. Some, Lord, struggling to get here on time from words and battling to get through the day, Lord, to be a part of the meeting. I pray you reward them for their efforts. Some, Lord, that drove a long way to be a part of the service, and I pray that you'd help them, Lord. I pray you'd stir their hearts toward you. Oh, God, have your will and way, I pray.
Father God, according to the precious,
holy word of God, I ask
you, Lord, I ask you, Lord God, if we have the devil in our homes, God, and I ask you, Lord God, if we have the devil in our homes, God, that you'll have to get the rest of the land. And you'll keep him out in our Lord, God, Father, I just ask you, Lord God, Lord, send us, Lord, I pray, God, you'll work your way of will, the economy of this nation, Father, we're having troublous times, we hear trouble on every hand, and
help us,
lost jobs, lost their homes, and lost their livelihoods, God, work your way,
Lord,
your will.
Alright, let's sing.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, only souls in Calvary, in the branches flow, many arrows pierce my soul, from without within, but my
family with us. Glad to have the Hendersons with us tonight. We want them to come around and sing several for us.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not
How could I forget?
Yeah.
Let the storm just roll on. I'll rest in the harbor like it's all was of my great riches. What substance, such treasure, the morning did bring. There was joy beyond telling, a hope beyond failing. I'm acquainted with all these.
Amen.
Yes,
Lord. I am familiar with mercy on my share of you. To thank you, His peace fell around me. The same as yesterday, and even though my tomorrow may have sadness and sorrow, I will still be. No stranger.
His grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. So I'm thankful for that grace tonight. And I praise the Lord for it. Good to see you tonight at the house of the Lord. Wherever you're from, we're glad to see you. And I trust the Lord will speak to our hearts in the remainder of the service through the Word of God tonight. And He'll let us see ourselves as we are in the light of His Word tonight. Luke chapter 18, if you have a Bible with you and want to read with us tonight. Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter 18, verse number 35. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. Appreciate these dear sisters that just sang. Amen. The blessing they've been to our heart and our lives down through a life. I've known them a long time. A long time. And I appreciate them. They've been a blessing to us, and I appreciate them. The blessing that they've been to us down through the years, I appreciate them. And I appreciate more than them the God they serve.
Amen.
That's what makes it all possible.
That's right.
It's Him tonight. It's not you or me, but it's Him. It's what Paul tried to get over to the church at Corinth. You're arguing over ministers. Who baptized who and who done what. He said, well, you say you're of Paul and of Apollos. And he said, but one water, one soweth, the other water. But it's God that gives the increase.
Amen.
So I'm thankful tonight it's all of Him, aren't you? Amen. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Somebody might be wanting to know what this means tonight. The singing and testifying and shouting and raising hands and folk crying. Jesus is passing by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. They which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me.
Yes.
Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight.
Yes.
Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God.
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer tonight. Would you join us? Ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you for the day and the night. Thank you for the Word of God that you've blessed us to read from tonight. The portion you've directed my heart to. Thank you for your sweet presence in the meeting tonight. Thank you, Lord, for letting us live in this nation that we enjoy this freedom. Thank you for bringing our nation to pass. And Lord, for protecting it up to this moment of time. Oh God, as the whole our nation is turned away from you and from the Word of God. But I thank you for those that still love you tonight. Help us now in this hour of service. Thank you for the privilege to be in this place and for this pastor and this church. For these that make up this assembly. But those that are visiting, help them tonight. Lord, I pray you'd have your way among us now. Speak to our hearts from the Word of God. Help me as I endeavor to preach. Strengthen my body and voice. Strengthen me in the inward man. Anoint us afresh and anew. Empower us, enable us, and permit us to preach tonight. Preach to us the Word that you want this congregation to hear. Prepare our hearts to receive it. Speak to sinners tonight. Stir up the saints. Work effectively mightily in and through every one of us. Have mercy and do for us what we're not able to do for ourselves. Above everything tonight, get glory and honor unto your high and holy name. What you do for us, what you do in and through us tonight, we'll be careful to bow with the head and say you did every bit of it, Lord. For what we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. and amen. Thank you for standing tonight. Verse 39, the Bible said, there were those that said to blind Bartimaeus, as he cried out to Jesus, hold your peace. That's what I want to preach on tonight. Hold your peace. The phrase simply means to be quiet, to be silent. Don't say anything. In our southern way of talking, we'd say, just shut up. That's what they said to blind Bartimaeus. Don't need you crying like this. Don't need you calling like this. This is not necessary.
Amen.
I never forget being in a meeting many years ago, and it broke out. Folks was a shouting all over the place, and it went on and on and on and on. Waved in about three different times, and after the service, somebody said, I just don't see the need of all of that. Well, thank God, I'm glad there's a need tonight.
Amen.
You'd been where Bartimaeus was, you'd have seen and realized there's a need.
Amen.
To keep crying tonight.
Yes, sir.
We live in a world that wants us to hold our peace tonight.
Amen.
We live in a religious world that wants folks to be quiet and to be silent and to hold their peace.
Amen.
We live in a secular world, our society, that wants us to hold our peace tonight.
Amen.
Or you can be loud at a ball game. You can be loud at a gay rally. Amen. You can be loud at a political movement. But when it comes to church, hold your peace. Oh, tonight, the old timers used to preach. I heard many of them say it. This is the quietest world you'll ever live in.
Right. Amen.
If you go to heaven, there's going to be a shouting over there. If you go to hell, that's only two places there is to go when you leave this world. There's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Amen.
This is a quiet world tonight. And I say we as the people of God have held our peace too long tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's time to speak up. And to speak out tonight. Amen. I want to look at three times tonight. There's more than this, but I want to look at three times in the Scripture tonight where people are told to hold their peace, or what will happen if we hold our peace tonight. First of all, if you'll allow us tonight, I'll look back in the book of Esther, chapter number 4. And we find in Esther, chapter number 4, that Mordecai says to that daughter that he raised, that stepdaughter, if you'll have it, he warns her what will happen if she holds her peace. Now, of course, Esther is in the palace. You know the story. You've read it. Esther has come to be the queen of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus is that Mede and Persian king that's over all the known world at that time. And here is Miss Esther. Miss Esther was orphaned as a young girl. Her parents died. But her, my friend, Mordecai, her stepfather, took her in, raised her as if she was his own daughter. Amen. And when my friend Ahasuerus came looking for a queen, all the fair virgins in the 127 provinces were taken to the palace, and Esther was in that number. Mordecai went to the king's gate every day to check on her and to see how things were with this girl. Amen. When it come her turn to be brought in before the king, thank God, he looked at her and he felt something for her that he did for none of the rest. Amen. And so he puts the royal crown upon Miss Esther's head. Amen. And she becomes the queen. She's been in the palace for 5 years now. And she's going along, my friend, and my friend, enjoying where the Lord and providence has placed her. Amen. But while she's in the palace, something has taken place. There arises a man in the kingdom by the name of Haman. He gets to the prominence that he's the right-hand man of Ahasuerus. And he hates Mordecai. Because Mordecai, of all the people in the kingdom, won't bow to him. Amen? And he can't stand Mordecai because he won't bow. And so he takes out his vengeance and his anger on Mordecai. But not just Mordecai. But since Mordecai's a Jew, he just decides he'll get rid not only of Mordecai, but of all the Jews. And he talks to the king. And my friend says to the king, there's a people that's intermingled in your kingdom in all the provinces. And he said, they're different than everybody else. Their customs are different. Their dress is different. Their actions are different. Yeah. They're just different than everybody else. And he said, I believe their trouble in the kingdom. Amen. That is truth tonight. I don't guess you'd be surprised, but would you realize tonight there are those in our society, there are those in our government tonight, there are those that are religious tonight that think old-time Christians are more of a threat tonight than the Taliban, than Muslims are tonight, than murderers are the mafia tonight. I want to tell you, it's not old-time Christians. That's the problem with America tonight. Hey God, it's the sins of this nation and the sin tonight. That's the trouble. Anybody listening? Oh God, help us. And so here, he says, if you'll sign the paper and if you'll allow me to have your ring to put the seal of the king's approval on a document, on a decree. He said, I'll pay into the king's treasury whatever it costs to get the decree out. And he said, in the coming month, on the 14th day, we'll just let all the enemies of the Jews rise up and kill them and then take what the possession that they had. Amen. Amen. And so the king agrees with Haman, and the decree is signed, and the money is put into the treasury, and the post go out, and my friend, give out the decrees throughout all of the known world. Amen. And right there in Shushan, where the palace is, and where Mordecai and other Jews live, as well as Miss Esther, there is a great weeping and wailing, and even Mordecai gets in sackcloth because the decree's been signed. And it says that in just a few days, their life is over with.
Right. Amen.
Amen. God help us tonight. And so somebody, one of the chamberlains, one of the servants of Miss Esther comes by the king's gate and recognizes that's Mordecai because he's been there every day. Ever since Miss Esther's been, my friend, I've been in the palace and they know who he is. And he sees him in sackcloth and he goes in and says to Miss Esther, Mordecai is out there outside the king's gate in sackcloth.
Right. Yeah.
So she goes to the closet and finds a good suit and says, here, take it to him and right. Tell him to change his garment.
Amen.
And when he gets, when the chamberlain, my friend, the servant gets there, he says, here, Mordecai, Esther wants you to change your garment. He said, tell Miss Esther, I don't need to change your garment. Amen.
Amen.
Tell Miss Esther, she don't know what's going on.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah, God help us.
Amen.
tell Miss Esther that it's amazing to me that she lives in Shushan like the rest of us Jews. Tell Miss Esther that it's amazing that she lives in the palace, that she's the queen, and yet there's things going on right under her nose that she has no idea about.
Amen.
Tell her I refuse to wear the garment or to change my garment. God help us. Man, there's a world full of folks that would like for us to change our garments tonight. I'm not changing the King James garment. I'm going to keep wearing it. Hallelujah. I'm not going to change, hey God, this old-fashioned way of worship for the modern contemporary way. I'm not hunting a drama team or a puppeteer or a Christian magician. Hey God, just give me the old blessed word of God, that old-time worship tonight.
Yes, it's right.
Amen.
Reach
on. Hallelujah. I'm not hunting children's church. Amen. I'm not looking something for the senior citizens. I'm just looking for a place where God's people can meet and pray and sing and shout and worship God in an old time way and practice that Bible and live holy and walk before God in this world. I'm not interested in changing garments. Amen. But it wasn't just that garment. It was the fact that he is in sackcloth and she only put on something that is a little more joyous or gay. If I could use that word in that term. Since it's about been ruined by them other fellas, anybody listen to me?
Yes, sir. You're right, preacher. Right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell you tonight, Mordecai wouldn't get out of sackcloth.
Right. Yeah.
What we need is some people of God that knows again how to pray.
Amen. Amen.
Churches have lost sight of mothers and daddies that know how to get under a burden and weep and cry till God makes a difference.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
And a lot of pastors and a lot of evangelists and some members in the church feel like if you don't come to church and leave feeling good, or if you've not had the feeling that you've been entertained, or you're not up on a cloud when you leave, that the church service is a failure. Sometimes we need to leave with our hearts broke. Thank God, weeping and begging God to forgive our sins and to help us and to help our children and our community.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now I refuse to change the sober, somber service of worship and turn it into a joke-telling, entertaining session.
Amen. Amen.
We've met to worship, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
A holy God.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, help us, Lord. Amen. And then some folks want the saints to change garments, and then they want sinners to change garments.
Right.
And they can't hardly stand it if a sinner prays over 2 minutes in an altar.
You're right. Right.
They get all nervous and think something's wrong. And they've got to assure them and convince them that they're all right. When you have absolutely no idea what's going on inside of them, let them die out. And when they die all the way out, the Spirit of God will raise them again. And you won't have to look them up Sunday after Sunday and ask them if they're coming to church. I'll promise them a $10 bill hid under the seat. Hey, hallelujah. Hey, God, if they get born again, hey, God, they'll come. Hey, God, snow or sleet, rain or sunshine, they'll be in the house of God because they love Him.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
When the servant goes back in by the name of Hathach, and says he don't want to change garments. She says, well, go ask him what it is and why it is.
That's right.
She lives in the palace. The decree signed under her nose. She's married to the king, but she don't know what's going on.
Right.
Amen. And it's sad that we've come to, that church has become a place that we don't know what's going on.
You're right, man. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
I mean, if it's not the Thursday night potluck supper.
Right.
Amen. If it's not the Friday night bowling league. Amen.
Yes.
It's not the Saturday softball team. Hey, is anybody listening to the preacher tonight? If it's not the Sunday night movie. Hey, God, over to church. Then we don't know what's going on. I want to tell you, friend, what's going on. A decree has been signed against our neighbors and friends, our loved ones, our children and grandchildren. And somebody needs to pray to the king that he'd change the decree, that he'd move with power and send revival and bring help and hope unto all of us tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, he tells her, said, check into the decree. Matter of fact, he sends a copy. Said, you need to read the decree that's been signed. Amen. And you might want to think about petitioning the king on our behalf. You've held your peace for 5 years. I instructed you not to show who you was,
right,
who your people were, but it's time to quit holding your peace.
Amen. Right.
She sends back the message and says, well, here's the problem. You know that no man or woman can come into the inner court of the king unless they're invited.
Right.
And if they just show up, then the law is that they're killed.
Right.
Unless the king was to hold out the golden scepter.
Right.
And she said, and I ain't been called in 30 days.
Right.
So we get to verse 13 and he says these words. Amen. Oh, he said, think us not because thou art in the palace that thou shalt be saved more than all the other Jews.
Right.
He said, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace.
Amen.
At this time. That's what I've been trying to preach on.
Right.
Have y'all lost sight of that yet? If you hold your peace, then there shall in deliverance and enlargement arise from another place. Amen. What happens if you hold your peace, Miss Esther? If you don't speak up, if you don't speak out, hey, what did he say? And notice what he said. He didn't say the Jews are going to die.
No, sir.
I don't know what he said. He said, if you hold your peace, we're all goners. That's not what he said. He's sitting in sackcloth, reading the decree in front of him, and it says on the 14th day, all the Jews are dead. But he says, Miss Esther, if you hold your peace, deliverance and enlargement's going to come from somewhere, from another place. Yeah. We're getting out of this. God's going to deliver us. God's not just going to deliver us. He's going to enlarge us. It'll come through somebody. If you hold your peace, it won't come through you. God will use somebody else. But he said you and your father's house shall be destroyed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And who knows whether you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this.
Hey.
What are you trying to preach on tonight, preacher? This. We don't need to hold our peace in petitioning the king tonight.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And if we hold our peace in petitioning the king, deliverance and enlargement's going to rise from some other place.
Amen.
If you don't want to be the person that prays, if you don't want to be the person that petitions the king, help yourself. Amen. But God's going to use somebody. God's going to let somebody pray.
Amen.
You don't want to be the church that God uses to bring revival and to bring help. He'll do it through somebody else.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. It's going to come. Amen. Are you hearing me?
Yes, Lord.
Oh, but it'll bring spiritual death to you if you don't do what you're here to do.
Amen.
Why do you think God's left us here anyhow?
Yeah.
Why do you think we're here at this time?
Listen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, that's right.
Bless his name. I used to think I should have been born earlier. I did. Folks convinced me of it. When I started preaching, I was 13-year-old. When I started preaching at 13-year-old, I preached pretty much as far as my mannerisms and the delivery I have, much like at 13, as I do now. I think I can get a witness if y'all really want one. And get about three, because there's three here that heard me when I was that young. I know at least three here. And there's one here that heard me when I was 18. And since. And that's the way I preached. Amen. And so folks would come up and say, man, you'd been good in your grandpa's day. You'd been good in the horse and buggy days. And I got to listen to all that, Brother C.L., and got to feeling so bad about God saving me and calling me how to preach. How when He did, started in 73 and up till now. And I thought God had messed up, made a mistake. But I come to realize it wasn't God, it's all that crowd. Amen. And if He'd wanted me to be born and birthed and called to preach in that generation, that's when He'd have done it. But He saved me for this hour. He called me for this hour. I'm here for this time. And that's why you're here tonight. For such a time as this, we might like to have been in a different time, but this is our time. And so do what you can do tonight. Get into the King. Petition the King. God's brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this.
Amen.
And if you hold your peace in petitioning the King, He'll use someone else.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Everybody can petition the King. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher, a missionary, evangelist.
Amen.
You don't have to be a pastor. Yeah, you don't have to have been saved 75 years to petition the King. Hey, if you're saved tonight, hey, God, know the Lord in the forgiveness and the free pardon of sin. You have access to the throne room tonight, and you ought to pray again. Hey, thank God.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen.
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 Yes. Right. Hallelujah. Don't hold your peace in petitioning the King.
Amen.
If you do, deliverance will always arrive from another place. By the way, let me finish and try to get to the finish step. Finish this point. By the way, when Esther heard what Mordecai said. She said, go back, Hatak, and tell him this. Have all the Jews in Shushan fast for me for 3 days. And my maidens and I will also fast for 3 days.
Right.
And on the third day, I'll go in.
Amen.
And if I perish, I perish.
Right.
Do you know when our preaching, or when our praying, and our preaching as well, and our practice, when our praying will have an effect, is when it becomes life and death to us.
You're right. Amen, right, brother.
As long as it's nighty night prayers, as long as it doesn't matter if he does or if he don't.
That's right.
Come on.
As long as it's take it or leave it. But when we get desperate, when we get to the point that it's life or death, I believe God will hear us again.
Amen.
What do you think?
Yes.
I don't believe he hears the sinner till the sinner gets to that point. I don't believe he listens to the saint till the saint gets to that point.
Amen.
Somebody needs to petition the King tonight.
Amen.
Don't hold your peace and petition in the King tonight.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Thank God.
She says, if I perish, I perish. The next chapter opens up and says, on the third day, she went in. Got to the inner court. And there she stood. Between life and death. All he'd have to do was not acknowledge her. And they'd have took her.
That's right.
And killed her immediately.
Amen.
But as he looked that way, oh, hallelujah. He reached over and got that scepter and said, come this way, Miss Esther. What is it you want? Up to half of my kingdom. You can have it. Hallelujah. What is your petition? Somebody needs to petition the king tonight. Don't hold your peace. For if you hold your peace, deliverance and enlargement shall arise from another place. Secondly, would you look with me for just a moment tonight? Now, I'm not going to be much longer. I probably won't spend much time on these last points. I spent so much on this first one. But in Luke chapter 19, the Bible said that Jesus makes what we call that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He's riding upon a colt. And the Bible said as he comes to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the people start spreading their clothes in the way. Some of the Gospels tell us that they take palm branches and lay them down as he comes across that road that leads there from the Mount of Olives and across the brook Kidron and into the gate called Beautiful or the Eastern Gate. And the Bible said as he makes his way on that little colt and the coats and the clothes and the palm branches are laid in the road that the whole multitude of the disciples begin to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice because of the mighty works they've seen. And here's what they say. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. What are they doing? They're praising the King. What's Esther doing? She's making a petition to the King. What's these disciples doing? They're praising the King. But the Pharisees, when they see this multitude and hear them, they say, Master, rebuke thy disciples.
Right.
Jesus said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace,
amen,
the stones would immediately cry out.
Right.
Hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight, we don't need to hold our peace when it comes to petitioning the King, and we don't need to hold our peace when it comes to praising the King.
Amen.
Whoa. That Pharisee crowd said, tell them just to be quiet. Tell them to shut up. Tell them to hold their peace. Jesus said, if they hold their peace, the stones, the rocks are going to start crying out. Amen. What are they saying anyhow? Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in the highest. Hallelujah. One of the Gospels said, they're crying, Hosanna, which means save us. Hallelujah. They're praising Him for what they've seen Him do. Hallelujah. They're praising Him for what they knew He could do. Hallelujah. Yes, thank God. And whoa, thank God that a Pharisee said, we don't need to hear that no more. Jesus said, but if they hold their peace, somebody's going to praise me. And it'll be the stones. It'll be the rocks that cry out. I want to tell you tonight, we've held our peace long enough in praising the King. He's worthy tonight to be praised. Bless His high and holy name tonight. Thank God He brought us out of sin. He translated us out of darkness into the marvelous light. He, thank God, changed us out from the road of destruction and put us on the road to glory tonight. He washed us, thank God, from our sins in His own blood tonight. He's been mighty good to all of us. Thank God, His grace and mercy has been wonderful tonight. And we've got a perfect life just to thank God, lay back our ears and say praise His name tonight. Glory to God. Don't hold your peace when it comes to praise Him.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You hold your peace in petitioning the King, deliverance and enlargement will come from another place.
Right.
If you hold your peace in praising the King, the stones will cry out immediately.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I say bless His name.
Amen.
I say praise the Lord.
Yes.
If I started now and took the rest of the night, I wouldn't get Him praised properly for what He's just done today.
Yes,
much less the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
I'm just talking about today. You throw in yesterday and all the rest of the years. My Lord, I can't get Him praised enough. And then you take me forward out of what He's going to do and what He isn't doing in my life. I can't get Him praised enough.
Oh, yeah.
Why would I want to stop tonight? This is what I'm going to be doing when I get to heaven anyhow.
Yeah, my Lord. Hallelujah. Yes.
Hey, that's the performance. We're just in the rehearsal now. But if you ain't a part of the rehearsal, don't expect to be part of the performance. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll be at home when I get to heaven because there's been heaven inside of me ever since I got saved. And I want to praise Him tonight. Because He loved me, and He saved me tonight. He's kept me by His power. He's set upon His grace and His love and His mercy in my heart tonight. I say bless His name. I can't hold my peace any longer. It's time to cry. It's time to speak up. It's time to bless His name again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, don't hold your peace in petitioning the King. Don't hold your peace in praising the King. And then our text tonight, we find Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, outside of Jericho, and he's making a plea to the King. He's making a plea to the King. And here's his plea. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. And the Bible said they which went before rebuked him and said, hold your peace. Bartimaeus thought about it. Felt his ragged beggar clothes. Touched his blind eyes. Remembered all he had heard about Jesus, and he just said, hey! Jesus! Got a little louder instead of holding his peace. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me!
Amen.
He was blind, and he's the only one that can open your eyes. I believe I'd cry a little louder too. Hallelujah. He didn't hold his peace. He cried a little louder. Sinner, if you're in our midst tonight, don't make a plea for mercy. But that plea's not just for sinners tonight. All the saints tonight, as he's passing by, we ought to make a plea for mercy tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not just talking about mercy's past tonight. I rejoice in Him, but I'm going to need mercy tonight.
Amen. That's right, preacher.
Or need to make a plea for mercy tonight.
Amen.
And not hold our peace.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, if Esther held her peace in petitioning the King, deliverance and enlargement is going to rise from some other place in her father's house is going to die.
That's right.
If the disciples held their peace in praising the King, the stones and the rocks was going to cry out.
Yeah.
And if Bartimaeus held his peace in making a plea to the King, he'd never have another opportunity.
You're right.
Because this is the last time. Mm-hmm. Mark's gospel said they entered and passed through Jericho. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
They're not coming back.
No, sir.
This is it. Right. And he can't stand the thoughts of staying blind. No.
You're right, brother.
He's tired of the wayside begging. He's tired of eating the dust of the road. And he knows there's a fella coming by that can make the change. He can't make him do it. He can't force him to it. He can't hold a gun to his head. He can't even bombard heaven and make it happen. But he can make a plea for mercy. I can't make him send revival. I can't make him do a lot of things. But I can make a plea for mercy.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. I want to tell you tonight, if you don't make a plea for mercy, he may not ever pass by anymore. This may be his last trip. I believe I'd make a plea for mercy tonight.
Amen, brother.
The old preacher, I want to say it's the Hebrides revival. I'm not for sure, but I think it was. The old preacher went to the church. That Hebrides revival, this is the beginning of it. He was to be the evangelist, and they'd been praying in those islands for several years for revival, and they felt the time was right, and they called this well-known evangelist, and he went and got off of the boat, and they met him. The men that were responsible for getting the revival meeting together, the part of the churches that were going to support the meeting as a combined effort. And they said, we'll take you to your lodging. This was on Saturday night, and he preached the first sermon on Sunday morning. Said, would you like to go to your lodging? And he said, why, sure. And one of the men spoke up and said, we'll pass by the church you're going to preach at in the morning. Would you like to stop by there first and see the church, and then we'll go on to the lodging? He said, good to me. When they got to the church, there's a whole lot of other folks at the church. And there's a praying. And they stopped their praying and asked him just to say a word of encouragement, just to say something that night to all of them. Maybe it's just an introduction or a welcome. And he got up behind the pulpit just to make a welcome to everybody. And God fell in that place. And he walked out of the pulpit and walked down the aisle and began to encourage folks to get right with God. And he got way down the aisle, and so many got to falling in the altar and in the aisles and in the pews of praying that he couldn't get back to the pulpit. And he said in his own words, it took me almost an hour to get back to the pulpit because so many was laying in the aisles of praying and begging God to save them and to get right, or begging for revival or praying for their loved ones. And he said, when I finally did get back to the pulpit, there's a young lady laying behind the pulpit. And she said, her and several others had been to a local tavern earlier in the night and dancing and drinking. And while they were there, the Holy Ghost had got so up on them that they all come to church. And now as the Holy Ghost covered that place, he said, I got back to that pulpit and sat down. There was that one of those young ladies, and I heard her screaming, is there any mercy for me? Is there any mercy for me? Is there any mercy for me? I believe the church is again going to have to make a plea for mercy.
Amen.
I believe sinners are again going to have to make a plea for mercy.
Amen.
And we better do it while he's passing by.
Amen.
We better do it while we got time. This may be the last trip that he ever makes through Jericho. I say make a plea for mercy tonight.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy on me.
Yes.
If you're a sinner, cry out to Him tonight. If you're a saint, ask for mercy for yourself,
yes,
for your family, for your home, for your church, for your community, for your country tonight. I'll make a plea for mercy tonight.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. If we don't make a plea, may not get a chance to make another plea. If we don't make a plea, we will make a plea. Sinner, if you don't make a plea tonight, you leave this world without God, you'll make a plea for mercy.
That's right, preacher.
But there'll be none.
Yes, sir.
And saints may make a plea for mercy because of things we fail to do.
You're right.
It'll be too late.
You're right, preacher.
What you're going to do, you better do it now.
Amen.
Anybody listening to the preacher tonight?
Amen.
Make a plea for mercy. Jesus stopped. Mark said he stood still. Luke said he stopped, or he stood, called for him. They brought Bartimaeus, or somebody got him and said, arise, be of good cheer, he calls for thee.
Yes, right.
He throwed aside his garment, came to him, and Jesus said, what
is it that you want me to do? Well, sure, he knew what he wanted. But he wanted him to make to ask. And he said, Lord, I want to receive my sight. He said, receive your sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And his eyes were opened, and he followed Jesus in the way. And then Bartimaeus fulfilled all three of these things I've been trying to preach on tonight. Hallelujah. He did. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. He made a plea for mercy. He made a petition to the king. He made a plea for mercy to the king. He made a petition to the king. And then he praised the king.
Amen. Right.
Bible said he followed him in the way, praising God.
It.
And everybody got to hearing him and seeing him said, that fellow was blind, but the Lord opened his eyes. And they got to helping him. And I say tonight, oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Amen.
And let us praise His name together.
That's right.
Woo, He's worthy tonight.
Yes, He is.
I wonder, are you going to hold your peace? Or I wonder tonight, are you going to make a petition? I wonder tonight, are you going to make a plea? And I wonder tonight, are you going to praise the King? Don't hold your peace tonight. Cry out, sinner. Cry out, saint. Make a plea and make it for mercy tonight. Would you come? Let's all stand. We'll sing a verse of song. If you need to pray tonight, would you please come? If you're a saint, you're a sinner, would you like to make a plea for mercy? You'd like to petition the King? Maybe you need to praise Him tonight. The altar's open to you, whatever your need is. If you're a member of this church, you're visiting from somewhere else, man, woman, boy, or girl, saint or sinner, young, old, or middle-aged, doesn't make any difference tonight. If God spoke to your heart and you feel the need how to petition the King or make a plea for mercy to the King or praise Him tonight, do it while we sing. While some have already come, you join them tonight. Sing when you get ready, brother. Already come. You join them tonight. Sing when you get ready, brother. Would you come tonight? Oh, would you come tonight? Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right?